I'll start out with some background, and then I will introduce myself. But phenology is the study of soils in their natural setting. We learned that all in intro soils. We map soils with the goal of grouping soils that are similar and separating soils that are different. And we traditionally do this in soil survey at the landform and landscape level. And if you've worked in traditional soil survey like I did for many, many years, this was what we mapped on a soil map at the landform and landscape scale. So it provided a firm foundation on which to build on, but the product emphasizes soil spatial variability. But now we're talking about soil systems and scalability, so current and future resource concerns require that we expand the scale at which we currently study soils and soil systems, and also address and expand the study of temporal variation in soils and soil systems. And what I said in my opening remarks is I think this would expand our utility for other disciplines if we take this approach. So I introduce me. Okay. I work for USDA NRCS, and the title is Scaling Up and Down in a Major Land Resource Area Soil System Study. In soil survey, there are three types of variation we can address: the spatial, which is probably the dominant, the temporal, and the taxonomic. And I'll talk briefly about each of those. So spatial variability, you're worrying about variation laterally across the landscape, vertically, downward through the soil profile. You have temporal variability or variation in time, and you look at geologic time, thousands of years, tens of thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years. But then you can also look at the more recent types of temporal variation, and an easy example would be where the prairie was broken, and maybe it was a sloping soil, and after you break the prairie and with cultivation and accelerated erosion, you get a change in the soil profile and time. And then we have taxonomic variability, and it seems we focused a lot of our energy since the introduction of taxonomy back, or the seventh approximation back in 75. And we worry about the variation across the landscape, taxonomic variation within the map unit, taxonomic variation among map units. So we traditionally focused on understanding soil spatial variability, and that's what the map does. Group things that are similar and separate things that are different. But now we can expand as we study soil systems to also focus on current concerns: soil change, soil quality, soil health. So we're expanding our horizons here in soil survey. And these are the traditional scales where we look at spatial variability, and I'll give some examples. And I've highlighted the two that in production soil survey, in the U.S. soil survey, is traditionally at the landscape and landform scale, and I'll give you some examples. You can look at global soil variation. You have the whole world on one map. U.S. soil variation with the orders, all the U.S. soils on one map. You can look at statewide soil variation. State of Missouri, focus into a county, and this is a general soil map of Plymouth County, Massachusetts, but you're focusing in different scales. Get down to the landscape soil variability, Plymouth County, Massachusetts, and you also start looking at the pedons. You can see the different pedons as they correlate to the different landscape positions. And just as a sidelight, these are some of the most powerful examples we have in pedology and teaching tools, which is the soil landscape diagram. And I've said this before, if I had one picture to show somebody to explain what I did for a living, this is what I would show them. And, you know, we look at that landscape landform variability because land use is usually done in those types of units, but now we get into precision ag, so we're talking about other scales. Landform component soil variability. Another example, looking at the catena from the summit to the foot slope, variations in the soil profile. And, you know, pedon variability. And you can also, when you describe a pedon, you're essentially mapping a profile. You're separating things that are different, grouping things that are similar. And you can look at the variation even in the horizon. So we're working our way down. And you can even get to microscopic soil variability, electron micrograph, clay. Okay? Very broad, very, very specific and detailed. So, summary, there are multiple scales of soil variation. In a field soil survey, we're primarily concerned with mapping soil variation at the landscape, landform, and component level. And then we describe soils in detail at the soil profile or pedon level. And essentially, when you're describing a pedon, you are mapping soil horizons. And you can map soil variation at the microscopic level, mineralogical and biological, and that helps with our understanding of the genesis and classification of the soil at the pedon level. So we're zooming up and we're zooming down. To summarize temporal variation, you want to understand the temporal variation, soil change, soil quality, soil health, metapedogenesis, which is the influence of human impacts on soils. So we must first understand soil spatial variation. You need a baseline to always understand the impacts on change, quality, health, human impacts. So for many years, this is how we studied soil variation, traditional soil survey. I'm 61 years old. I don't think I'm the oldest pedologist here. Who's older than 61? Who's older than 65? Who's the last standing pedologist? I would guess the youngest one here interested in pedology is probably 20, 21, so there's quite a range. But this picture was taken many, many years ago when I was a young budding soil scientist. But now, instead of doing traditional soil survey to study soil landscapes, we had to come up with a different way of studying these systems, and Dr. Owens gives the question I asked him a good example of. You have spatial products, GIS products, but you still have to go out to the landscape and study those relationships. But now it goes much, much faster. And the example I'm going to use is we have the Shawnee Hills Las Catinas study, and it's the Las Pinier landscape, and I'll explain how this fits into the soil system study. But it occurs in the MLRAs 115B, 120A, 120B. We have a cultivated and a forested site in Indiana, a cultivated and a forested site in Kentucky, and a cultivated and forested site in Illinois, and you can see the different lus depths. And the experimental design looks something like this, where we have the MLRA, the lus thickness stratigraphy, the states where the sites occur, the locations by county, the site name, but then you'll notice that we also have the paired cultivated, forested, cultivated, forested, cultivated, forested. So we have a baseline and now we can measure impacts. So that was another part of the experimental design. And I'll briefly show you the steps we go through in this type of study, since we don't do traditional, I call it grunt mapping, but we have to still study soil landscapes. So we have loyal landscape analysis and site selection, big part of the study, the experimental design. And then you have to come up ways of have a detail. This is a detailed soil map. The watershed's probably about 9 acres or so, and they vary from maybe 7 to 10 acres in the 6 watersheds we have. So this shows the detailed soil map. It shows the pedons or the diamonds, and then we took point data, and that's what and it was stratified within each of the units to try to get a feel for the variation at those levels. Okay. Have soil profile description, and I want you to take note the number of people that are involved in these things, exchange of ideas, teaching and coaching younger soil scientists. And we do soil profile sampling, so you're getting the taste of pretty much the whole gamut of what it takes to study soil systems. Point soil sampling. Oops. This is measuring carbon variation. and systematic description of those points so that you can begin to understand the soil-landscape relationships. And Dr. Schoenberger talked about water flow studies, and this is part of it, where we have flumes, where we measure the amount of water that goes onto the site, through the site, and up in the discharge. And pressure transducers to measure water tables. Of course, you also have to have weather stations to go along with it. And water flows using the Amusa meters. So we're systematically studying, we're essentially studying the heck out of this soil landscape. But I'll show you how you can scale that information if you do things in a systematic way. We did geophysical studies to try to understand how you can extrapolate this information to other similar soil landscapes. You can't poke holes in everything, so you try to come up with a way to observe soils without poking a lot of holes, but correlating the observations with subsurface observations. Me pretending to be a forester. So we did forest inventory on the forested sites. And we also used the sites for education and outreach. We would take students out and explain to them what we were trying to do. So these are students at Southern Illinois University. But one of the big things about what we do is teamwork. And when I look at pedology, some of the best teaching moments are out in the field with your colleagues and sharing ideas. And we have people from various disciplines. The guy in the middle is from Dr. Leon Fulmer, who's retired from the Illinois State Geologic Survey, but he's also a very good soil scientist, and NRCS scientists, people from universities, people from the Soil Survey Lab, and then the local guys. But we all work together because it takes a lot of teamwork to complete studies like that. So there's the whole gamut. We've got the
2 minutes.
You always do this to me whenever I talk. So we have the whole scales of soil variability, and again, it's highlighted, landscape and landform. But now, when you look at the regional soil systems, you begin to expand the application. So now you're not only restricted to the landscape and landform, but you can also zoom in to the microscopic level or zoom out to the regional level, whether it's the state or the MLRA level, which is one of the better things about the MLRA concept. These are the cooperators, and there are many other people involved in this. There are probably about 70 people total over the period of many, many years that we did this. But with that, I'll end and ask if there's any questions. I guess I can answer one or two questions.
What do you think the plausibility is of being able to capture major plant-soil relationships in a given geographic area?
Oh, it's very, very good chance to capture. When I look at the digital tools we have now, Bill, and the way you can systematically study a landscape and look at the correlations and relationships and then share that information with a block diagram or some type of statistical application, I think it's the next big thing. And as a sidelight, and Dr. Owens alluded to this, I don't like the idea of completing the soil survey, because that's all I ever hear. We're going to complete it. When I think we should be talking about versions, like version 1.0 for a soil survey in the 60s, version 2 for the ones in the 80s or something. But giving the people the impression that we're going to finish this is just wrong. And I can show you historically, even back in the 1920s, where people were demanding that they finish the soil survey so they didn't have to pay for it anymore. But what I'm saying, Bill, is that we need to go to the next level. We can't keep county acres. Those days are done. Okay? Data Pro?
That's it. You're
okay. Okay. Next up.